We've probably spent more hours under this roof together than we have probably together at home, maybe even since like our honeymoon or our first year of marriage, just because of the pandemic. I mean, we've just been together a lot. But what we've realized is that probably sometime midsummer, I think we both kind of realized all this togetherness does not equal oneness. Hours upon hours together does not mean we're connecting deeply.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
So we're back on the boat in the Caribbean.
Yeah, we are.
Well, sort of.
Virtual.
It's the Love Like You Mean It virtual cruise. We get to listen to a message from our president, David Robbins, and his wife, Meg, which was given on, again, it was a virtual cruise. We didn't get to go out on a boat because of COVID, but we got to sit in our homes, and thousands of couples did this. It actually ended up being a great cruise.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. And so we have messages that were given virtually. And by the way, we are going on a boat next year, 2022, February 6th to the 13th. We will be on the water. We want you to join us. And if you sign up now before June 28th, you get a great deal. So I would say sign up immediately. That thing will sell out.
Go to familylifetoday.com and you'll be able to see some of the promotions we have going on.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. So today we get to listen to David and Meg talk about
going deeper.
Deep.
Yeah.
It really applies to the year we've gone through.
You would think that being under one roof and probably spending more time together than most of us have spent together as a couple, we would just have the best marriages right now. But they talk about how it can be really hard to go really deep intimately and be fully known in our own homes.
Yeah, so here's David and Meg.
Welcome to our home. I mean, we so wish we were together in person and sailing the seas. But if we can't, then we might as well come a little closer, come into the most intimate place of the Robbins, and that is our home. And so we are so thankful to be with you and get to share tonight with you.
And it actually reminds us, yesterday, the stop in Italy reminds us of Valentine's. We lived in Italy for a year, way before we had kids. And we spent a Valentine's at Cinque Terre.
We did. We were in those one of those little homes hanging off the cliff, and it was super affordable at the time, at least. I have no clue now. This was almost 20 years ago. But
one of our favorite spots, for sure.
But, you know, we look back at Italy, and it's such a fond memory place, a place that we really feel like we became a team. And we look back, and we go, man, God did so many cool things in our lives. But then when you start listing how that actually happened, it was a pretty wilderness time in some ways. There were some really hard things we had to process. There was beauty in getting to experience life in a different country and things the way we look back on it and how God moved. But man, there was a lot of depravity and a lot of pain that surfaced. We had a miscarriage of our firstborn there. It was a pretty traumatic experience, to say the least. Ministry really became kind of duty for me for a season there, and I had to work through that with the Lord of, God, are you calling me to this? And this is hard, and I don't feel like my heart's fully in it. And so it's amazing that we went into layers of our relationship with the Lord, layers of deeper intimacy with one another in Italy, and it was hard. But we look back at it and go, man, it was so worth it. I can't imagine our relationship without that season. It was a really important season in our lives. And it's fascinating how as we go into deeper layers of intimacy together, it's hard, but it's always worth it.
It's true. I think in some way we've also experienced that this year, that sometimes the things that we experience depravity and hurt and hard things together, those things also have beautiful things that come from it. And I think when we think about this last year, we've probably spent more hours under this roof together than we have probably together at home, maybe even since like our honeymoon or our first year of marriage, just because of the pandemic. I mean, we've just been together a lot. But what we've realized is that probably sometime midsummer, I think we both kind of realized all this togetherness does not equal oneness. Hours upon hours together does not mean we're connecting deeply. And honestly, I think if anything, if when we got really honest about how we were doing midsummer, it's like, okay, after several months of this, we're really not connected. We're kind of drifting. We're kind of emotionally on two totally separate islands. And what does it look like to dig in and invite you in and experience that emotional connectedness that we long for and that we know we typically love and operate that way? But hours together under the same roof, especially with our kids around all the time, oneness doesn't just happen. We talk about that a lot. You know, you have to fight for it.
And you have to pursue it. And it reminds us, there was a moment where we were really getting to that place of going, this isn't okay. And we don't want to settle for this. And man, this pandemic's keep continuing. And we got to address this. And we were like, it's the onion again, which means nothing to you probably. But for us, we remember joining staff and going through a seminary class. And this analogy of this onion that the seminary professor told was like, that is growing closer to God and growing closer to one another. It's such a beautiful analogy. And, you know, there's three different types of loves. There's phileo love, which is brotherly love, or, you know, that emotional connection love. There's eros love, which is passionate and speaking of that honeymoon type of love. And then there's agape love, which is unconditional love. Jesus type love comes from above, unable to do on our own. And if our lives are like an onion, we get through layers in each other's lives where we're you know, going through the layers of the onion of each one another's lives. And there's that easy connection and phileo, and then there's the eros and the passion. And then you hit a layer, and you hit those layers that you go, oh, this, the way we're operating isn't going to get us through this layer. This layer requires agape, supernatural, Jesus-inspired love in order to love through. And we were at one of those layers. You know, our lives, as they keep growing, you know, God knows the depths of our hearts, but we don't. And we keep growing ourselves, and we keep growing as a couple, and I keep learning more about Meg. And we hit these different layers in both of our lives, and we're like, okay, this is the onion. This is a moment where it's going to require us to re-surrender to the Lord and really, you know, trust him again with agape type love. And the beautiful thing that we keep finding that we are getting those first fruits of again is that when you go through those layers that require agape love, on the other side of it is deeper emotional connection and phileo love, deeper eros, you know, type of love.
Yeah, because really we long for that deep connection. We long for it from the Lord, and we long for it with each other. Just a soul level connection that we cannot have without the Lord, really. One of my favorite quotes on this is Tim Keller. He says this: to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. You know, and we need the courage to go deeper into the unknown parts of our lives. I mean, greater intimacy in marriage and greater intimacy with the Lord, they go hand in hand, and that it takes courage to peel back the layers and let someone in, and also love into those layers, love through those layers, just like you were talking about with the onion.
So we want to talk about three ways that we can actually pursue that. That when we hit those layers in our life, which I'm sure you've hit some during this past year, as we look at this Valentine's Day that is unique, and you go, I don't know where you're celebrating. Likely it's in your home, and you're not out doing something fancy. You're here with us. All right, how do we pursue this? How do we pursue these deeper types of intimacy with the Lord and with one another? The first one is, and the first pathway would be, embrace being fully loved and fully known by God in deeper ways. It is entering the deeper parts of your own story with the Lord. Psalm 139 is one of those verses that, you know, David goes on and on of the security we have in us being fully known by the Lord. He hems us in behind and before. He knows our deepest parts of our lives. You know, we were created in our mother's womb. He knits us in that place. His thoughts are too vast for us. And then as he reflects on all those things, he gets to the end of that psalm. And in verse 23, Psalm 139, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous ways in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting." And out of that security of knowing, God, you know everything already. You know fully everything about Meg. You know fully everything about me. Out of that place of you knowing all of that, okay, Lord, in that security, knowing you love me, search me. I offer myself up to you anew. Whatever's happening in my lives, Lord, I want to offer myself up to you, surrender, and go into those deeper places with you so that you can lead me in the way of everlasting. We've been reading this year, really our favorite book of 2020, which is Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. And he quotes lots of Puritans throughout the book. And he quotes John Bunyan, really. And John Bunyan's really talking about how we tend to deflect Christ's assurances. And he says, we often say, "No, wait, God, you don't understand. I've really messed up in all kinds of ways." And Christ responds, "I know. But you know most of it, sure, certainly more than others see, but there's perversity down inside of me that is hidden from everyone." And Christ says, "I know it all." And we respond, "Well, the thing is, it isn't just my past, it's my presence too." And Christ says, "I understand. But I don't know if I can break free of all this anytime soon." And Jesus responds, "That's the only kind of person I'm here to help. The burden is heavy and heavier all the time." And Jesus responds, "Then let me carry it. It's too much for me." And Christ responds, "Not for me. You don't get it. My offenses aren't directed toward others. They're against you. Then I'm the only one most suited to forgive you. But the more of the ugliness in me you discover, the sooner you're going to get fed up with me." And Christ responds, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." And Bunyan concludes, "This promise was provided to answer all objections, and it does answer them."
Yeah, it's a rock solid promise. This is the gospel. I mean, I love that. It's so beautiful. And it reminds me of Romans 8:38. "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is a ginormous promise, that nothing, no sin in my own heart, no disappointment, no fears, no doubts, and all those things just listed, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I personally experienced this. It was several times, certainly in our lives, but I was thinking back to when we lost two young nieces to a degenerative brain disease several years ago, kind of over the course of a few years. And it was hard. It was really painful. If I'm really honest, I experienced a lot of just questioning, is God really who I thought he was? I grew up in a strong Christian home. I believed in the Lord from a young age, and I never really struggled with doubt. And I started to feel and sense that doubt was creeping in, and God didn't seem as good and kind and loving as I had known him to be for the rest of my life. And honestly, I started to feel a lot of shame and guilt around that. And I had a hard time being honest with the Lord, being honest with David about it. And the Lord just sort of slowly wooed me in and helped. I started to realize, okay, it's okay to bring this to the Lord, to open this up to him. And he's already there. He already knows it. He already sees it. But the more that I open my heart up and take that to him and ask him the hard questions and wrestle with that openly with the Lord, the more intimacy I experience with him. I experience that deep truth of being fully known, him seeing all that mess that I was struggling with and wrestling through, and yet knowing and experiencing that he fully loved me in it. And that the intimacy came as I peel back the layers of my heart. And it's so tricky with the Lord, because we know he already knows it and he's already there, and yet he invites us to let him in even more. And as I experienced that, I did experience more oneness with the Lord. And if I'm truly honest, even through that process, I think we started to experience more intimacy, because I was able to say, hey, I'm struggling with this. And it was hard to admit that at first, because I've never had doubt. I'm not supposed to have doubts. And yet it was an opportunity for me to experience the Lord more and intimacy with Him, and then also begin to crack that door open for greater oneness between us.
Yeah, I mean, that leads to our second point, is that if we're going to pursue deeper and deeper layers of intimacy with one another, it first starts with going into those places with the Lord. And as we do, there is that next step of faith of how much do I let in my spouse? Mm-hmm. You know, we all kind of have those decisions to make of to what extent. And I mean, we delight in being fully known and fully loved. We say with our mouth, but as life goes on, as we get in ruts, as something surprises us, like doubts that may surface in our lives, do we keep going in and being fully known with our spouses and full and experience being fully loved in the ways that Christ empowers us to be in those deeper places? And the second point is simple, but yet it's true. We have to invite our spouses into those fully known and fully loved layers. God already fully knows them and loves them, and we invite our spouses into those places to disclose the deeper unknown places that are becoming known so that we can grow together and so that intimacy continues to cultivate. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And implied in a marriage, we are wired to bear with one another in love, in agape love, in the hard layers in our lives. We are made to have unity in the Spirit, the same Spirit that's in Meg, the same Spirit that's in me. We are wired in order to have intimacy with the same Spirit so that there would be a bond of peace. And peace doesn't mean there's not tumultuous things happening in our lives, but there is the peace of being having God's presence with us and experience that in that together.
Yeah, honestly, our oneness grows as we invite the other person in even more. And I think, you know, it's kind of coming to terms with the obvious that David cannot read my mind. And when I was going through that and wrestling with those things, he can't read my mind and he can't read my heart. The Lord certainly can, but he can't. And so our oneness, you know, I think even this summer, reflecting back to how we were drifting apart a little bit, it's because even though, I think because we were together all the time, I started to assume, well, he should know that I'm irritated by that, or he should know that I want him to do this. I will never forget when we were getting married, my older brother, who was already married at the time, he was like, my one piece of advice is, if you want David to do something, you need to tell him. You know, if you're sitting there and you've just cooked dinner and you would like for him to do the dishes, and he says, hey, do you want me to do the dishes? Don't say no, say yes, because he doesn't know what you want him to say. And it was kind of revolutionary. It seems so simple, but it's so true. I think sometimes we assume that he's going to know this about me because we're here, we're together, we're so close, and we are one. But yet that doesn't equal knowing everything without me saying it. And so I think it's a choice, just like I have to say if I want him to do the dishes, I've got to tell him if I'm sad or I'm hurting or I'm feeling lonely or disappointed or joyful and excited about something. It's learning to invite him in by taking that risk and taking the walls of my heart down and letting him see what's really going on.
Yeah, through this year and through the realities of the pandemic, I realized in a new and kind of deeper way how when I'm under stress, how hard I close up some and I just start functioning through life, and it makes it harder for me to ask for help. And we all have our own tendencies. Some of us emotionally vomit and you're like, wait, how do I present this well and invite my spouse in a healthy way? For me, over this last year, it really was around, I just started skimming through life. And am I really going to deeper places? Do I make space for Meg and I to go to those deeper places together? Do I invite her into the places? And for me, as I looked into it and dug into this layer of what's going on and why is this drift toward isolation happening, it was part self-reliance, where under stress mode, I just get really self-reliant in a really unhealthy way sometimes. The other side of it was a narrative I was going in my head, going, I don't want to add more stress to Meg. My goodness, she's having to teach the kids and get thrown into that scenario, and she's not done that. And so, you know, we were moving. There were so many things going on. I don't want to burden her more. But by making that small decision of I'm not going to invite her in to the places that I was really struggling and anxious thoughts were overwhelming, it did lead to that separation where we kind of had to have ongoing moments, not just one huge moment. There was kind of a moment where we go, hey, this isn't right. How did we get here? Oh yeah, pandemic, but let's just don't excuse it. Let's, how do we pursue one another? And in that, as I begin to declare need, you know, it's one thing to be someone that knows how to tell the story going on in your life. It's another thing to, for Meg to go, so what do you need? And I go, oh my goodness, I don't like it when you ask that question. You know, like, it's one thing to be able to articulate, man, I'm struggling this way and here's what I'm anxious about. But, and then she would ask, no, what do you need? And it goes back to you as a spouse asking that question. All of a sudden, do I even know? Okay, yeah, I need you to help me in this way, or I need time away in order to process with the Lord. Whatever those things are, we get to, in intimacy, grow together in that place. But we gotta choose to let our spouses in, which is so simple. And it's like 101 stuff. But as life takes its course, which this year, certainly life has taken its course, grace allows us to invite our spouses in without having shame and go into those places and invite them into those places.
That's so true. I was just thinking about how the first point of being fully known and fully loved by the Lord really helps us believe and be rooted in that grace that allows us to invite our spouses in. And then the third thing is that we would pursue our spouse to fully know them and lavish them with love. I think so. The second one is more about inviting your spouse in. And the third one is taking active steps to pursue the heart of your spouse. It's entering into the deeper spaces of your spouse's heart and life and pursuing into those places. And because of what Christ has done and because of his great lavish love for us, this is possible. And I love, there's so many verses on God's love for us and how he calls us to love one another. But I'm going to quickly read through a few. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another," with that lavish love. John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." John 15:17, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." And 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And the last verse, 1 John 3:11, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And the greatest thing about this is that not only does Jesus model so perfectly for us and can we experience that oneness with him, but he also empowers us to do it. He doesn't just tell us to love and hope that we're going to do it on our own, because I don't know about you, but I fail miserably when I'm trying to love David on my own and show him all the things that he needs and he's wired to have. But the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit, and through him we can love in a way that frees us up to be kind when we're not able to on our own, to show him kindness and love and peace and all of those things. And that to me is just, I'm so grateful, and it's the only way that I think we can experience oneness the way that God designs us to.
Yeah, God designs us to love one another like he loved us, and that's only possible by us not being self-reliant to try harder, but us surrendering and getting on our knees and going, God, I need your help to be able to love like you love and pursue Meg being fully known and fully loved and experiencing that from me. He's the only one that truly fully knows every part of Meg and fully loves her with perfect love. But yet I get to pursue her by the power of the Holy Spirit and give her glimpses of God's love in a tangible way, us together go into those places. But often it seems like we want the fruit of companionship without the demands of genuine intimacy, which takes us back to the onion and where we started. We get to those layers, we go, oh man, this is hard. Sometimes we don't even realize we're at that hard level and we're just kind of bumping up against it. But when we realize it, like we did this past summer, we go, okay, this takes agape love layers. This takes dependence upon his Spirit to be able to enter in together. This takes risk. This takes courage and some steps of faith to know how we're loved, first point. To be able to open ourselves up again and know, okay, God, you fully love me and know me. I invite you into the deeper places. Help me go deeper through this layer. But then secondly, to be able to invite someone else in. And then thirdly, to be able to pursue being fully known and fully loved. That's what we get to do. Know ourselves more, invite our spouse in, and then pursue our spouse ourselves with a Holy Spirit, divine type of power and love. And I just would say, as we begin to close, remember this and remember the power of the analogy of the onion. The great thing is, as you go through those agape layers, better eros is on the other side, because that deep emotional and spiritual connection happens. Man, you begin to unlock something and deeper levels of eros intimacy that comes along with deeper levels of spiritual and emotional connection.
It's true. Very true. And one last thing that has been so helpful for us through the years is just that I think our tendency in marriage, even as believers, is to set ourselves up like the letter A. If you think of a capital A, and this is David, and this is me, and we tend to lean really hard on each other. And we have that line in there that goes across, and that represents the Lord, and it's important. But if we set ourselves up like this, we are leaning so hard on each other, and inevitably, one of us is going to give out. I'm not strong enough to hold David up, and he is not strong enough to hold me up either. And this bar right here, we're not putting God as strong enough to hold that bar isn't going to hold up this letter either, and it's going to tumble down. But instead, we need to set ourselves up like the letter M. And if I'm to, let's say this is me and this is this side of the M, this is God right here, and he is the anchor on both sides of our marriage, and we're kind of like a V in the middle.
Here we go.
Look at us. Here we are. We're an M. So God is over here, and I'm leaning on him. He is my source. He's my strength. He is where I'm getting all of my stability. I'm rooted and grounded in him. And David is too over there. But we're still one. This is one letter here. And we're connected. We're deeply connected. And we're together. And so that's important too. Oneness is being together, but it's being rooted in the Lord first and continuing to grow in both of those places. Because ultimately, God is the one who knows us fully. He's the only one who can ever know us in that complete full way and love us perfectly. But marriage allows us to enter in and love each other in a beautiful, amazing way. So we would just say, in closing, just to remember that God loves us in a way that we can't love each other, and yet he calls us to love in the power that he gives us to love deeper than we can imagine.
It's worth going to those layers. It's worth taking steps of faith. Keep reminding ourselves that we are in a covenant with the Lord. And then as we marry one another, through depending upon him, we are in a covenant with one another. And it's about growing deeper and deeper and deeper in the awesome intimacy that comes from taking risk in those places.
Well, you've been listening to David and Meg Robbins, our president of Family Life Today, on the Love Like You Mean It virtual cruise. And boy, they got into it. If anything good has happened in the last year, you know, this COVID year where many of us, you know, did what we just did watching this message. We're sitting in our homes, yeah. You know, where we've sort of been locked down. You know, we had a chance to go deeper in our relationship or pull away. Yeah. And their challenge was, let God grow you deeper.
And I love that, because they talked about going deeper in our heart, in our spouse's heart, and Jesus' heart as well. And all three of those are really important. And I just love Dave and Meg. I mean, they're just, David and Meg are just fun to listen to. They're great to be around, and they're great leaders. So let me ask you, like, as you've listened to this, what could our call to action be? What do you think?
The first thing I think of is something we teach at the Family Life Weekend to Remember, and that's level 5 communication. And that's what they were talking about. Going deeper means I'm going to go down to level 5, which means I'm going to share my heart. Hmm. I'm not going to, you know, level 3 or level 2 is I'm sort of superficial, but and you can be that way with some people in your life, but level 5 in a marriage.
And it's not every minute of the day.
No, but it does mean that I'm going to reveal my heart, my struggles, my doubts, my weakness with the most important person in my life, which is my spouse.
Yeah.
And it's scary to go there. That's what they were talking about. That's deep. And that's, it's easier to live in superficial land. But man, if there's one person you want to go deep with, it's your spouse and your king, your Lord. And the benefits of going there, as scary as it is, are intimacy, not only with God, but with your spouse. So it's worth it. So I would challenge, especially the men. I think women go there easier. Maybe I'm wrong, but I know you do. So I would challenge the men, share something real. Share something scary with your spouse today and ask God to meet you and take you deeper.
And it doesn't have to be necessarily about your marriage, but what you're facing in life and what you're feeling in life. That's a good challenge. Thanks.
I can imagine that for some people, the thought of sharing something that's been hidden, something that's been kept under the covers, that can feel scary and threatening. You wonder if you're safe. So I think the question for you is, what can I do to help my marriage become the kind of safe place where we can be transparent, where we can be what Genesis 2 talks about, naked and unashamed with each other? David and Meg presented this message as a breakout session on Family Life's 2021 Love Like You Mean It virtual marriage cruise. The good news is the cruise in 2022 will not be virtual. It will be in real life, IRL. We're going to be face-to-face with one another on the cruise, and we'd love to have you join us. Every year that we've done the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise, it has been a sellout. And this year's cruise is starting to sell out as well. So we have a limited number of cabins still available. This is a great week for you to reserve your cabin because we have a back to cruising special that we put together for Family Life Today listeners. It ends on Monday. You can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to reserve your cabin on the cruise. If you need more information, go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and click on the link you find there. Join us. Valentine's week of 2022, the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. Again, call 1-800-358-6329 to sign up. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about this, but God is the one who invented intimacy in marriage. He invented sex. And tomorrow, we're going to hear from Dr. Julie Slattery about God's good gift to every couple and how we can be a part of that. I hope you can join us for that. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.